Hi, welcome to Bridgepoint's Message Podcast. My name is Andy and I'm part of our online team. We're in a teaching series that we are calling United. It's all about how to live united when things around us feel so divided. It's our prayer that this message will encourage you today and help you get closer to God. If you are encouraged by this, we ask that you share this podcast with your friends and don't forget to hit subscribe. Thanks again for listening.
All right, happy Sunday, Bridgepoint. How are we doing? Good. Feeling good? Awesome. Welcome to week two of the United series. This is a series that is, let me tell you what it's not first, okay? Lest anyone panic. We went over this last week. We are not in this series going to be telling you who to vote for. As followers of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit of God that can inform you far better than I could. This is not going to be an anti-politics series. That is not our goal. This is certainly not an anti-American series. We are blessed to live here. So what is this series? This is a call to remind us of what it looks like to live united when things feel divided. We started last week, if you missed it, with the reminder that God's ways are not our ways. They're higher. They're better. If they weren't, why would we be pursuing God? They are. That's why it's worth following him. And we reminded ourselves that because his ways are better, that's what makes him God, and God is good. And if God is God and God is good, that's the lens by which we can live for something bigger than what our world offers us. Our God is also not just a God of America. He's a God that holds the whole world in his hands. And so to be in a season culturally where we are by living in these United States of America, we've got to remind ourselves of God's purpose in the midst of some pretty divided times. It seems like to have an opinion on anything opens the door for people to want to share their opinion with you. And that rarely is pleasant, and it rarely is a uniting experience. That's why today I want to talk about what do you do with the strong emotions that divide? How do you handle that? Because division stems from a place where people have passionate opinions on something, right? Having an opinion is not a bad thing. Having an opinion on, say, the election, it's not a bad thing. It's part of being an American. Having an opinion on where you're going to lunch or dinner later in the day, that's not a bad thing. But it's the emotions that the opinions can create in you and in others that I wanted to process today. Now, let me also say this up front. Emotions are not a bad thing, all right? Emotions are not a bad thing. Spoken from a naturally emotionally expressive individual, that's not bad. So everybody that's naturally emotional, you can also take a deep breath today because I'm not hating on anybody. I'm going to hate on all of us so that we're all on the same page. Here's why this is so important. In a season where as we head into, say, the elections, the intention of politicians is to stir enough emotion in you that it creates an opinion that sways your voting one way or the other. And if we're not ready for that, if we leave our emotions unguarded for that, then we can find ourselves falling right into the division that seems to exist all around us. And so I just want to caution you about your emotions, but this isn't just related to politics. Have you ever felt emotional in your friendships? Have you ever felt strong emotions related to your family members? Have you ever experienced some emotional drama at the office? Well, you were never a part of that, right? But you know that it exists. Have you ever had emotions towards classmates? Towards people who used to be friends till they did what they did and said what they said, and now you have emotional opinions on your ex-friendships? Have you ever had emotions related to situations of the person that takes 12 items into the 10 items or less line at the store? Emotions are everywhere. They're a part of life, and there is nothing wrong with our emotions. In fact, God created us as emotional individuals. Here's the point of today's message. If we begin to operate our lives from the place of allowing our emotions to dictate how we live, then I hope that sets alarm bells going through your body this morning. And here's why. Emotions and truth do not always go together. And I want to explain why this is important. Emotions stem from the heart. The heart's a key place of where we are. The heart and the soul are what God is fighting for. God's less concerned about what you do and more concerned about who you're becoming and who he's created you to be. That's a huge piece that you need to understand. But from that place of the heart that your emotions flow from, that's the part I want to start this message by speaking into. In the Old Testament, so before Jesus lived, the God's people and their relationship with him looked a lot different than it does for us today, having lived on the other side of Jesus' death and resurrection. Did you know that because Jesus died and rose, it gives us direct access to God the Father? Jesus was God. He was man. That's a sermon in and of itself. But we get to know God personally, and we don't need anybody to tell us how to speak to God, because you and I get to speak to God personally if we have faith in Jesus. That's a powerful thought. Pre-Jesus, before he came, God would speak to his people through a prophet. You can view a prophet almost like God's mouthpiece, that he would speak to the prophet, that the prophet then might speak to his people. That's important because I want to read you a passage that the prophet Jeremiah, speaking on behalf of God to his people, said. The interesting things about prophets that is probably worth mentioning is that prophets were often speaking on behalf of God to his people related to kingdom issues. The kingdom of the day was ruled obviously by kings, and the things that the prophet would speak into was how the people were supposed to interact with not only the law of the land, but how their land would interact with other kings and kingdoms. Very political in nature, and while they didn't have elections back in this day, the prophet was speaking on sometimes political things. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to something I think in all circumstances is worth all of us hearing. Just to leave you in a little bit of a cliffhanger, I want to also acknowledge this. When you hear the prophet Jeremiah's words, when you hear what God said through him, and as you begin to process it, those of us that are following Jesus, that understand what Jesus was doing even before he lived, or even before he showed up on earth, but certainly since then, this is going to make a whole lot of sense about why checking our emotions is really, really important. If you're new to faith, if you're not sure on faith, if you're not sold on this, first of all, I want you to know you're welcome here. We want you to feel just as much at home as the rest of us. And we want you to feel like this is a safe place to explore your faith, to decide, do I want to follow Jesus? Is he going to mean anything to me or not? Is he going to matter in my life? If that's you, you tuned in to the right spot. But I also want to confess to you up front that this message may need to leave you in a place where you think about it for a couple days and ask yourself, what if Jesus really did make that much difference? Because those of us that are followers of Jesus, it's going to make some sense, I think. And I think everybody tuning in is going to get something out of this message. But maybe those of you that are a little unsure about faith, today's going to be an interesting journey of asking yourself some questions. What if Jesus was God? And what if what he said really did impact my life? I want you to hear it through that lens as we jump into Jeremiah, God speaking through Jeremiah to his people. Jeremiah chapter 17, starting in verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Hey, happy Sunday. Are you encouraged about the message so far? I love to kick off something that's going to hit you right in your heartstrings and just really, really make you feel good that you came to church today. The heart, the place where your emotions and mind flow out of, Jeremiah says it's deceitful above everything else. Priority number one is deceit. It's desperately sick. That's our heart. That's where the emotions stem from. And Jeremiah is saying, you got to be real, real careful about your heart because that's a really dangerous thing. Here's how I know that. My heart actually has never bent towards naturally putting somebody above myself. My heart, as a matter of fact, and I'm not trying to brag, because I would imagine if we were totally honest, your heart would feel the same, but my heart actually thinks really highly of myself. And if you were to share an opinion about me that was negative towards me, my heart is naturally going to help convince me that you're actually the issue, not me. Why? Because my heart is not bent on giving. My heart is bent towards self-preservation. It's all of us. It's the way that we're wired. It's deceitful above everything else. I want you to see, take with me just a little bit further in what Jeremiah is saying. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it? It's that crazy of an existing deep inside part of you. And I want you to check out verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Who can understand the heart? Who knows the heart? God. God does. Now, for some of you, the fact that God knows the deepest places of your heart suddenly has you feeling like you're sitting on a really hot seat this morning in church. Please don't panic. Because everything Bridgepoint is built upon, everything that Bridgepoint understands from the Word of God, and everything I want you to hear today through this message is this. God not only completely knows your heart, knows the things that nobody else does, knows the things that make you an incredible, unique, individual person with special giftedness and talents. He also knows all the things that you don't want anybody else to know. He knows your story. He knows the brokenness. He knows the hurt you've caused. He knows the pain you felt. He knows the things that you've experienced. God knows those things. And so just to get everybody on the same page today, God not only completely knows you, but hear this, God loves you. God knows your heart. And even so, God knows my heart, and even so deemed you worthy of the very life of his son that would die in the very place that I deserve because of the wicked, deceitful nature of my heart. You see, even though my heart tends to choose me over anybody else, even though I know that my heart was in a place that chose myself over God so often, even though God knew those things about me, he loved me and you enough that he offered his son that our hearts might be healed. That trusting in Jesus, that trusting that I know that I have a heart problem, I know that my heart is sick, I know that it's deceitful, I've seen it, I've experienced it, I've felt it. But the willingness of me to say, if I lay down my way and my life and my plans, trusting that that those are part of the reason I'm as broken as I am, and grab a hold by faith to Jesus, his death, his resurrection, and therefore his victory over sin, over the brokenness that lives in my broken, deceitful heart, I will know by promise of God, I will know a life. And I will know a newness that nothing in this world can offer me. Because our hearts are broken. You don't even have to pretend today. You don't have to hide it. You don't have to hope that nobody finds anything out today. Because the confession is that this is all of us. How do I know my heart's broken? Well, just for an example, my heart, if I listened to it all the time, I would always choose getting extra cheeseburgers in my life than salads. That's not a healthy place to be. In fact, if you go to a church and you hear a message from a pastor with the lovely sounding platitude of follow your heart, run, man, run, because the heart is desperately sick. Your emotions are not bad. God gave them to you. But if that's the guiding force of your life, then watch out. How do I know that? Because I had about 6 girlfriends before I met my wife. 4 of them, I found myself begging God to understand that they were the one. Begging him to make it happen. Begging it to seal. I don't care that I'm a junior in high school. God, I understand love completely. I'll do anything for you. God, please. And praise God, he never listens to me. Praise God that he didn't listen to my heart. If I listen to my heart every time, then when the alarm goes off every morning that it's time to go to the gym, my heart says, aren't you tired? What's the point? Do you want to sweat? Do you want to work that hard? Right? Don't follow your heart. Will deceive you every time. And this is so important because to live in a world where we want to live united, we must be mindful of the fact that our hearts are naturally deceitful. They're naturally wicked. I'm not trying to knock you. I'm not trying to discourage you. I actually have good news if you'll stick with me. But understand that heading into an election season where platforms are trying to stir your heart towards a vote, that vote is not going to stir your heart about what's good on the other side of the aisle. They're not going to stir your heart about why the other side isn't so bad, or why you shouldn't be afraid of them, or why you shouldn't be mad at what he or she has done. But you also know that your heart also reads into situations. So when you see that other person coming out of the meeting in your boss's office and then they both look at you, what if it's actually not about you? But your heart will convince you that it is. When you see your best friend hanging out with those other people and you're saying, I bet they intentionally didn't invite me, what if that's not the case? What if that person really didn't say what somebody told you that they said? What if the situation didn't go the way that you saw it? What if your perspective didn't give you enough data points to complete the picture? But as long as we keep following our hearts, then we will mow people, we will mow systems, we will mow friendships down because we're following what our heart feels and tells us about certain situations. Do you see why this is dangerous? The heart is deceitful. It only knows what it knows. So again, I started this message with, what do you do with those strong emotions that divide then? How do you handle that? And especially for those of us that call ourselves followers of Jesus, what do we do when we do feel certain ways about certain things? Because I said, opinions aren't bad. Feelings aren't bad. Your emotions aren't bad. But when you understand that just following that, knowing what your heart is capable of, I hope that's at least the beginning of a red flag to say, man, maybe I need to be a little more careful. After Jesus lived his life that was wholly different and full of love for others and changing, his heart was clearly not wicked as ours was. After Jesus died the death that you and I deserve because of our wicked, sinful hearts, and after he rose from the grave, defeating our wickedness and our sin forever, people began to say, man, if we're going to do a good job of pointing people back to Jesus, we actually need to try to live in such a way that reflects Jesus. Peter was an eyewitness to these things. He was a follower of Jesus, and he actually wrote some of the books that we know as the New Testament in our Bibles. One of those books is named after him. It's called 1 Peter, and I want you to hear Peter's wisdom related to our hearts. Here's what This is a quote that a pastor said that I thought was so applicable. When emotion is high, wisdom is low. That's from Craig Groeschel, right? When the emotion for the cheeseburger is high, then I have to remind myself that what is wise and drown out the emotion, right? And as I read this quote, I thought, man, I can easily look at this quote and be so confident that both major political party candidates are very emotional guys. See the joke that I'm making about them? Yeah, we can laugh about that, right? It's a safe place. I'm knocking everybody, right? But let me show you what Peter said in this, in 1 Peter. Peter's saying, having purified your souls, being cleansed, being refreshed, being renewed by your, check this out, how do you purify your soul? It's by obedience to the truth. In order to purify your soul, it's by obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Therefore, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. The caution that I want to give to us today is your heart very naturally bends towards self, but I want you to know that there's hope for you. But the hope isn't going to be a group of people that can walk out of this building and say, well, I have found religion and I'm going to work hard at doing good so that God will be pleased with me. We can't do enough good that fixes the own wickedness that exists in our heart. But if what Jesus did on the cross was for real, if the eyewitnesses were telling the truth, and if it's accessible to us by faith, his death and resurrection, then this is no longer about us going out and doing good. This is about us going out knowing that God has made us new. That by faith in what Jesus has done, we can be new. And when God begins to work on our hearts, he does the kind of heart transformations that nothing in this world can afford us. He begins to plant seeds of hope. He begins to remind us of what is true. He begins to remind us that our call is love and love of others at all costs in all situations. as that begins to happen, if we'll get serious about trying to obey what he says, obey what is true, and build our lives on that, then the wickedness in our hearts begins to change as we become more of who God's made us to be. This is so important to understand. Peter's very next verse says this: you have been born again. None of us just found religion and decided to start doing good things. If we put our faith in Jesus, we have been transformed by him. This isn't like bad people versus good people. These are people with wicked, dead hearts coming alive in Jesus. We've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. This is a movement of God. This is bigger than us. It's through the living and abiding word of God. I want you to see something incredibly important. Peter was reminding the early church that if you want to build your life on something that is big enough to be the foundation of it, it must begin with truth, and we know truth to be God's word, the Bible. And if you try to build your life on anything else, it will not have the same transformative effect because it is perishable, meaning there is not a candidate in this election that can offer you a hope for your soul that's bigger than this temporary world. It has to be bigger. We must be more concerned about the states of our hearts. We must be more concerned about the emotions that we encounter, because a pure heart, a heart that's being refined by love, will not have moments where it reacts strongly out of emotion, right? Are those going to happen? Yes, because we're imperfect people. But how many of us at some point or another have said, oh, why did I say that? Because our heart was not in a good place. Oh, why did I do that? Because God's still at work in us. Why can't I? Why? Because when we live by the guide of our heart, instead of reminding ourselves that we must live by the guide of truth, then our heart will bend towards its natural state. And that'll hurt people, and it'll hurt us. If I gave you one thing to walk out of here today remembering, one thing to focus on, one thing even to process today, sort of like a big idea, here's what I would encourage you to grab a hold of and let kind of marinate on your brain today. It would be this: emotions can lie, truth never will. Emotions can lie, truth never will. As I was processing this message, our Seminole campus pastor, he was on this campus just a few minutes ago, Scotty Rogers brought to light some interest. He has a counseling background. It was really helpful of his explanations of why this is really, really important. Our emotions are actually, they flow from what our heart believes is true. So it flows from belief. So when we're reacting, when we're feeling emotion towards something, that's because our hearts have decided that something that we're reacting to is true. And so the importance of this big idea for you today, I would submit, this is one of the most paramount goals of your life, is to now understand what is true. Because here's what I need you to understand for you and for me: truth is not subjective. Truth is not based on how you feel about something. Truth isn't simply formed from your perspective because you might have had a bad perspective on something. Truth isn't just about what the circumstances dictate. Truth doesn't flow only from the mouth of a politician. Truth doesn't flow on how you feel about what you interpreted from something. Truth is simply truth. That's why God says this word. He, God, is true, and he's given to us his word that is truth. And in order for us to build our lives on something, we must build it on truth. So I would caution you that when you're reacting emotionally, what do you do with those strong feelings? You first need to decide as if you're feeling something based on truth. Here's what I mean. For some reason, 10 p.m. at night, after a long day with the kids, hard at work for me and my wife, after a busy day of cooking and cleaning and getting the kids where they need to be and days at work and everything else, for some reason at 10 p.m. at night, my wife never receives the gracious criticism that I'm offering to her about how she needs to improve something in her life. And if I'm honest, 10 p.m. at night, I don't, when she comes and tells me that it is my day again to do the dishes, for some reason my heart naturally wants to say, well, why is she trying to control me and not letting me live my life? Why? Is it because those things aren't, is it my day to do the dishes? That might be true. Do I have helpful feedback for her? That's possible. Probably not. But it's possible. So why is it ever met with welcome? Because if we're exposing something at a naturally emotional moment, and our belief in that moment is shaped by our emotions, then when my wife is trying to control my life, I'm never going to want to go do the dishes. Because my emotions got high, my wisdom got low, and my purpose became destroy the enemy. Now, thankfully, my wife would never do that, okay? Never do that. She's sitting in the room, so I want to make it really, really clear that she never, ever does that. But when I do it every time, she needs to change her behavior, right? If we try to approach anything by the belief that this feels like the right moment, or this feels like the right thing to do, or this feels like the truth, then we have built our life on a foundation that cannot support the weight of who we are. Now, let me ask you something. Can truth divide? Yes. But what if we let truth be the division and not our emotions about what we believe is true? What do you do with strong emotions that divide? You start with asking yourself if the emotion is coming from something that is true and real or not. And here's a picture of that. Jeremiah, the same prophet that we started with, just before he warned people that your heart is naturally wicked, he also gave them an encouragement that I think is totally applicable to us today. Hear God speak through Jeremiah right before where we left off just a second ago. God spoke through Jeremiah and said, "Blessed is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." In other words, because God is truth, that's a foundation that will never fail you. Blessed are you and I when we build our lives on truth. Not a platform, not a party, not a belief, not something we feel, but on truth. And when we allow truth to shape our direction, that will not lie to us. Jeremiah continues, "That person blessed, he or she is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream, always getting the satisfaction and the refreshment that it needs. And it does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." I would submit to you that culture around us, especially for us here in America, the temperature is hot. Does it make you fearful? Because taking the emotion out of it, that should be an indicator to us about what's true and what's emotion. Does it make you anxious? Because that's not a peace that comes from God. Does it continue to allow you to bear fruit, to walk in your purpose? Because that needs to be at the forefront of our minds. In fact, if I was presenting it to you today in a way that I hope you walk out just asking yourself, am I good? Am I reacting emotionally? Am I building my life on truth? I would ask yourself these questions. Is your life refreshed? 2020 has been a wild year, and this election campaign season is not going to slow it down. And I'm not saying that you're not going to have moments where you're just worn out, but if you're more worn out constantly than you are being renewed and refreshed, then you need to ask yourself if you're giving your soul what it needs. And your soul won't thrive on emotion. Your soul craves truth. It craves who God is. And can I make a point to you? Taking care of your soul is now more important than ever. But number two, are you refreshed? But are you fearless? And I'm not suggesting that you're not going to have moments of doubt or concern or even have moments of being afraid. But when the heat gets turned up, does it send you spiraling to a place of woe is us or woe is me? Is your livelihood, is your hope for a future hinging on who gets elected or not? Or are you able to remind yourself that God is God and God is good and God's got us too? Therefore, I will be brave. Are you refreshed? Are you fearless? Are you peaceful? Have you watched a debate yet and said, man, those are peaceful people? I wonder if it's just because of all the tension that goes on, all the emotional sway that they're trying to do for us to vote, all of that stirring inside of them is leading us to a place that we feel like we need to adopt that in our lives. And I got to tell you, if the only way you find peace is to defriend or block the people that don't think like you, that's not a peace that's going to sustain your soul. Are you peaceful? But lastly, are you purposeful? And here's what I mean by that. Again, this is not an anti-politics series. This is not an anti-telling you who to vote series. This is not an anti-American series. But if over these past few weeks and months, and if in these next few days and weeks, you consider your posts, your conversations, your attitudes, your emotions, and your actions, and they're building more of somebody's platform than they are the kingdom, then you may be relying too much on your emotional reaction to a person, system, job, spouse, relationship, friendship, or anything else than you are the God of the universe that can refresh your soul. Believers, followers of Jesus, we need to take this into question, because if there's anything in our lives that's turning people away from getting to know God and getting closer to Him, shame on us. But the care of your soul is so important in a season like this. And can I give you a simple secret weapon that far too many of us discount the power of? It's this. It's a power button. I want you to know that sometimes it's okay to turn it off. Turn the news off. Log out of the social media feeds. It's okay to have an opinion on the election, but is anybody swaying anybody else on social media, or is it just gas thrown on fires? Turn it off. Because if you're not more concerned about your soul, if you're not more concerned about the fearlessness that God has called us to and the peaceful living that He affords to us and the purpose of helping people, all people, get closer to God, then that is a telltale sign that you are not living united when things feel divided. So church, God's ways are higher. His ways are better. He has so much more purpose for you and I than what this election can afford us. But in all of your relationships, what do you do with that strong emotion that divides? You remind yourself that emotions can lie, but truth never will. So is what I'm building this moment, this conversation, this interaction, this thought on true? Or am I just emotionally reacting to a circumstance? Why does this matter? Our hearts are wicked, guys. Our hearts will lie to us. But listen to me. God knows your heart and loves you still. And that's a truth that you can build your life on. Will you pray with me? God, for just a moment, I would love for me and my friends to take a deep, peaceful breath and to begin to ask ourselves the tough questions of is what I'm believing, is how I'm operating, is how I'm living, are my interactions, are my posts, are my friendships, are my relationships with coworkers and other people, classmates, are they built on truth? Because God, it seems like if it's built on truth, it's gonna propel us to love. Love will always unite, but God, in a world that feels so divided, Are we loving well? God, equipped with the truth of your word and a power button for our minds and our devices, would you make us a people that lives united even when things feel divided, possible only because of what you, Jesus, have done for us on the cross. It's in your name we pray. Amen.